we've had the privilege over the last 3 years to be a part of Serve the City. And God had kind of put it on my heart a couple years back to really instill in this current generation, to go beyond self-centeredness, because we all battle that, right? And so there's nothing greater than to deliberately, intentionally be a part of something that's focused outward. And I really felt that this was the thing to do. And so I've been glad to be able to be a part of it. I'm glad to be at Christian Assembly and be here with you guys this morning. I send a Redeemer's welcome. And I thank Pastor Gligora and Pastor Jeremy and just the whole staff for opening up this building to allow all of these students to be a part of here, part of this place, to allow the stench of junior high and high school students to linger in an entire hallway for days on end. It uppercuts you in the face once you walk past those doors. It's like a totally new experience to walk through there. And that's where I stayed. And I became so comfortable with the smell, I no longer smelled it anymore. You know what I mean? But I'm really excited to be here tonight. I just want to show a couple. My wife is sitting behind the Gligoras. Her name is Allison, and she's here. And show a couple pictures. That's my family right there. My oldest son, Gideon, and my middle daughter, Ella, are both in kids' church. And my youngest son, Zeke, is probably giving the nursery some trouble, which is totally fine because he's not with us. Can I get an amen? But I'm excited to talk to you this morning from the topic, pause in his presence. Pause in his presence. A prophetic voice, he has a prophetic ministry. His name is James Gole. And how many of you know who that is, if you know who that is? He's written 50 books on interpreting dreams and the prophetic and hearing God's voice and all sorts of things. He said this, I came across this quote. He said, learning to be quiet or to be still or to pause before the Lord is one of the greatest challenges we face today in our quest to enter in and experience true intimacy with him. How many of you realize that we're not living in a culture that's helping us with this? We're living in a culture that is fast-paced. It's high energy. We are made from birth to become used to constantly doing something. And it's so counterculture to force yourself to be still. I mean, we live in a carpe diem culture. That's seize the day. We love when we tell people all of the things we've accomplished in a day, and the reaction is, I don't know how you did all of that. Like, it's just a pat on the back. We feel good about ourselves when we lay our heads on our pillows and we're exhausted at the end of the day because we got so much done. This is the culture, and this is how I know that that's part of the problem. We have to put into law a driving law that says, don't be on your phone while you're driving. This is evidence enough that we're doing too much. We have to put in law something that says, hey, focus on what you're doing, singularly. Focus on not killing yourself. Like, we put that into law. You know, and this is just the epidemic of our culture. We're so used to doing things. We're connecting, we're contacting, we're reaching out, we're talking to people. We have 10 text message conversations going on at the same time. And the moment we get a pause while we're driving, instantaneously we start to think about, like, where's LeBron gonna go after the season's over? So we're tempted to get onto our phones and ask Siri, you know, who's the next NBA analyst and what he's saying. And this is all while we're driving, let alone being at home. I've got 3 kids, and there are moments that as I'm just hanging out with our kids, like, there's moments where I'm just so tempted to grab my phone and just search to see what the weather's going to be like 2 weeks from now. Why does that matter right now? That doesn't even matter. But this is the type of culture that we live in. We're constantly moving. We're juggling 15 things at once. America is a busy culture. But I came across another quote that really challenged me. It said this: beware of the barrenness of a busy life. How many of you understand that busyness will not cause you to feel great long term? You may be satisfied temporarily by all of these things that you're involved in, but it doesn't give you a healthy identity. Another thing that I thought about was this. Another quote said, busyness has become a drug that a lot of people are addicted to. See, I don't know about you, but I've come to learn in my life that busyness does not equal fruitfulness. It doesn't equal effectiveness. I can be busy and miss out on my kids' lives because I've got my hands in too many pots, in too many fires. It doesn't equal effectiveness or fruitfulness, not only in life, but in your relationship with the Lord. Busyness does not equal fruitfulness. It does not equal effectiveness. See, it's essential to our relationship with Jesus that we press pause while we're in his presence. To make the time to be still before him and know that he's God. So let's just close our eyes, bow our heads so I can get like a 5-second nap, but be praying at the same time. And then we're going to move forward. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Jesus, we just, even in this moment right now, we still ourselves. We press pause. God, we thank you for who you are, God. Jesus, we love you. Father, we know that you're here, God, and so we just pray that your Spirit would speak to each and every one of us, God. Father, that we wouldn't want to rush through the moments that you're wanting to speak to us and bring refreshing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. If you know this passage of Scripture, or if you've ever read the book of Luke, this is a famous passage of Scripture. It's the story of Mary and Martha, which was Lazarus's sisters. And this is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture that you've probably heard preached on multiple times. But I'm going to be reading from a translation called the Passion Translation. It's a newer translation. Anybody familiar with the Passion Translation? It's a newer translation, and I just kind of like the way that it words things. In verse 38, it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home, and her name was Martha. Let's stop right there. How many of you have read this passage before? You're familiar with this story. I don't know about you, but I know the outcome of the story, and I never realized that Martha was the one who invited Jesus over. It wasn't Mary, it was Martha. Martha is the one who invited Jesus over to the house. And it goes on to say, she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. I love what the Message translation says. It says this, that Mary was sitting before the master, hanging on every word that he said. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through life and not pause to hear what God's speaking to me. Jesus himself in the desert said, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds, not proceeded, but proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, there are things that God wants to speak to you every single day that will bring life to you if you pause. You know what's amazing about that? I love this. That very thing, when the devil tried to tempt Jesus with that, or tempt Jesus in the wilderness to eat because he had been fasting, he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How many of you know that was a scripture? So do you realize that when he was speaking it, he was actually feeding himself? He said, I don't need to eat. I'm going to speak because man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I'm going to speak scripture while I'm not eating natural food and still sustain myself on speaking scripture. We need to hear the word of the Lord today. What he's speaking to us, that is not to replace scripture, but that is to complement scripture. It's not one or the other, it's both and. And so here's Mary sitting at his feet, pressing pause in the presence of the Lord. In verse 40 says, but Martha, keep in mind, the one who invited Jesus in, Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus. Let's stop right there. You ever invite someone over and they come too early? And you're like, stand out on the porch because I'm not done with the chores yet. There are people who are chronically late and chronically early. Now, we love when people are early, but some of us, when you invite them over to the house and you're like, I have not vacuumed the room that we're going to be hanging out in, and you show up and you get frustrated, right? Evidently, when Jesus accepted the invitation from Martha, he wanted to come over as soon as possible, and it's no different with us. He doesn't care if you have it all together. If you say, hey, can you come over? He's like, I'm coming right now. He is radically, recklessly in love with spending time with you. He's not going to wait till you have it all together. He will show up in the middle of your mess because he loves you. We live in a house with three kids, and there are toys everywhere. You ever see that Home Alone, the first Home Alone, where they break into the house, and there's the ornaments on the ground, and he, like, messes his feet up? I step on so many toys on a daily basis that I need to put my feet on the prayer list at my church. But Jesus is not concerned with your mess. If you give him a space, he'll fill it. He just wants to be with you. So Martha gets exasperated because evidently Jesus showed up not on her schedule. And she's like, frustrated because she's trying to finish the chores that she was trying to get done for him to come over, and he showed up. Martha became exasperated, so she interrupted Jesus and said, Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work myself? You should tell her to get up and help me. In other words, evidently at some point, Mary had lost respect for Martha to the point where Martha is trying to get Jesus to tell her to be obedient to her. You got siblings, you know you've done it with them. I got a sister named Rachel. Hey, mom, tell Rachel to help me. This is what was happening. Sibling frustrations. Jesus, she ain't listening to me. You need to tell her to help me. And so, as I was reading this passage of scripture, the Lord just so clearly spoke. And he said, Caleb, the enemy loves a Martha church. Because the Martha church says all the right things. The Martha church says, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. But when Jesus interrupts the Martha church's schedule, the Martha church interrupts Jesus. Now, I don't believe I'm in a Martha church. But what I'm saying is the enemy loves a church that's so busy that when Jesus shows up, they've got a schedule they got to maintain. And so they leave no time for Jesus. There's a schism, I believe, that's happening in the church. There's merry churches that so love the presence of God that they will stay still when he shows up, hanging on every word that he says. And there's a Martha church that wears itself out and never creates space for the Holy Spirit. See, the thing is if Martha would have sat next to Mary, maybe she would have never became exasperated. Can I tell you that it is so powerful in your life when you seek first the kingdom of God? If I wait till I get to the church to seek first the kingdom of God, it will never happen. Sometimes I think people have a perception of pastors that they just pray and read the Bible all day. Nope. Because when you come into a church, you are flooded with all of these things that need to be done. Now, I'm not saying that Martha's bad. Martha gets a bad rap. I love Martha. Martha was the one that was creating a space. Martha was the one that was getting things done so that Mary could sit at his feet. But here's my point. Be Martha until the presence of God shows up, then saddle up next to Mary. Stop when the presence comes and press pause and stop striving, stop working, be still before the Lord. When he shows up, don't interrupt him. By the way, I think that's crazy that Martha felt comfortable enough with the King of the universe when, you know, this is what, you know what, I saw it in my head. Jesus was like talking to Mary and he was like, so that's how I created the galaxy. Mary, this is how you cure cancer. And Martha was like, shh, Jesus, one moment. Yeah, this is the King of the universe. And you're barging in. Let us not become so familiar with the King of the universe that when he shows up, we tell him with our the attitude of our heart, Jesus, you got about 5 minutes, and then I just need to clean this room. Be Martha, but when the presence of God walks into the room, be Mary. So we have to be, as a church, the church as a whole, we have to sustain the tension, a pressing pause when his presence shows up. See, this is what I learned from Martha. We can welcome in God's presence, but ignore him when he steps in the room. When the presence of God comes into the room on a Sunday morning, it is not the time to move on with the service. It is a time to linger, to press pause and wait and taste and see that the Lord is good. See, I don't know about you, but in worship today, there was a part of King of My Heart where they sang, you're never gonna let me down. Probably be about 10 times. And there was probably some people that are like, I was good with 5. But the truth is this, is maybe Tammy was digging a well on a revelation we needed to have. When we were singing that song, what came to my heart was that this was a song of ascension that was going to bring a promotion on your perspective. Because when you see how good God is, it changes everything. And so that was a moment where she was pressing pause. We're not getting to the next song. We're gonna linger here and I'm just gonna dig a well and tap a stream that some of us need to get. In those moments, don't get frustrated and be like, I'm trying to be the first one to the buffet. Jesus, come on, let's go. Don't give in to the American culture that causes you to want to constantly move. But ask the Lord in those moments when you're like, okay, next song, please. Ask him. Matter of fact, that's the indication that we should be taking a pause. When we start to feel like we're not being busy enough, I got to do something else. Ask Jesus in that moment, what do you want me to reveal to me as they're drilling a well here? See, we can welcome in God's presence, but ignore him when he steps into the room. See, when we say we welcome the Holy Spirit, that comes with some fine print that we're no longer in control. It does. It goes on in verse 41. The Lord answered, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions that make you so busy? Are they really that important? Now, that had to hurt Martha. That had to hurt Martha. Martha is exasperated. She's like wearing herself out. And Jesus like kind of checks her. You've been doing all this stuff, but is it really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted. In other words, Martha, don't be upset that Mary pressed pause when you didn't. She is undistracted, and I won't take that privilege from her. If you've ever experienced the presence of God, you know the privilege of it. There is nothing greater than worshiping the Lord and when he shows up. That is a privilege. It is a privilege. And Jesus said to Martha, I'm not always going to be here. She is not always going to be able to sit at my feet. So when I come into the house that you invited me into, you better believe it is a privilege for her to sit here at my feet and commune with me and be still. See, Martha's mistake was simply, she just failed to press pause. Weird transition, but you have a TV growing up in your house? TV? I had a whole bunch of TVs. TVs nowadays are like 95 inches. They're like entire walls. But when I was growing up, it was a 27-inch TV, and I thought it was like the biggest TV ever. Now if I sit 5 feet away from a 27-inch TV, I can't even see anything, and I've got prescription glasses. Like, I don't know how that happens, that you get older and like what you thought was huge is no longer huge. And like, there's kids in here that when they get older, they're like, I thought this was a mall. Now, this is a big building, but like, as you get older, your perspective changes. But let me tell you about a time when there was a game changer in TV. The game changer in TV was when something called TiVo came out. How many of you remember when TiVo came out? TiVo meant this, that you could pause live TV. See, before that, if you had to go to the bathroom, you'd wait for the commercial, and you better hope that you can get accomplished whatever you need to get done in that minute and a half, because if you can't, you're gonna miss something. How many of you ever wait for a commercial and you're like running through the house? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I gotta get some popcorn or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, you are just running through the house, you're going up and downstairs, you come back and you're sitting down, it's like, I made it. Now, some of us didn't have that. Some of us, if we didn't want to miss a favorite TV show and we didn't schedule ourselves around TV, or we literally at that time, truly, like we pretty much had to schedule our lives around what we didn't want to miss. Nowadays, you can just record it and just go and do your thing. But at that time, if you didn't want to miss something live, what'd you do? You pulled out the videotape. Put in the videotape. You started to record. How many family memories were recorded over because you only had one videotape? The first time your kids were like swinging on a swing set and you're like, well, we've watched that. Like, you're having this conversation like, we've watched that about 10 times, and so I remember it. You know what I'm saying? And then here's the thing, like, not everybody had multiple videotapes. So you had one and you couldn't get the timing right. So you had about 5 seconds of everything you recorded before the thing you were trying to record. TiVo changed the game. But you know what I love about TiVo? TiVo taught us the power of pause. Because when you pause, you can be guaranteed that you won't miss anything. This is the power of pausing in his presence. Can I tell you that we will miss things if we don't pause in his presence? We can be guaranteed to miss things. I can tell you this, being in ministry, there are times where you feel the tyranny of urgency and you start to run. You don't feel like you got the time to seek first this kingdom. And I tell you, you will get worn out, because there's other times where I've sat at his feet feeling the tyranny of urgency and asking the Lord, what is my assignment for today? And it shaped the entire day differently. The phone calls, the connections I couldn't make when I was trying to strive instantaneously, supernaturally, everybody was picking up the phone. It's the power of the pause and the stillness. Pausing guarantees that we don't miss anything. So we have to break away from the chaos, from the noise of life, from the constant movement and striving and doing, and sit alone with the Lord and just press pause. December, I got this this Passion Translation from my wife for Christmas, and as I was reading the Psalms, I came across a phrase that was randomly placed there in lieu of Selah. How many of you know what Selah means? It means to pause, okay? And instead of saying Selah in the Passion Translation of the Book of Psalms, it just says pause in his presence. See, these Selah moments were more than just times to stop and think about what was being written. They were moments to pause so you didn't miss anything. How many of you know that Psalms were not just poetry, Psalms were songs? See, here's the thing. In worship, there are moments that happen naturally as the presence of God comes that will bring a stillness. You know what those are? They're Selah moments. Selah is actually a Sabbath in a song. It's a resting place in a song for you to commune with the Lord and receive what he wants to speak in that moment. And the amazing thing in the Psalms was that I believe that the psalmist would, as they're writing, sense the presence coming as they were writing, and they would literally be aware of it and say, this is a time to be still. What I'm experiencing now, I'm going to put into this psalm that will become a song with the hopes that later on, as people are singing it, they will come to the same pause in his presence that I felt when I was writing it. It's a Sabbath in a song. See, this is what happened when Tammy was ending Reckless Love. It was a Sabbath in the song, a Selah moment to press pause and just say, we're just going to sit here and see what the Lord is saying and see what the Lord is doing. And how many of you know, how many of you felt that was a rich moment? That's the byproduct of being still. It's the byproduct of pressing pause. But it naturally flowed out of a song where there was a Selah moment that became a Sabbath point to rest, be still, and know that he's God. See, when we do not press pause in his presence, there are going to be things that we'll miss. This is what I love about the Psalms. David was writing the Psalms over decades of running for his life. And if you read the Psalms that David wrote, you know multiple occasions, multiple Psalms that became chapters, what is there? There are pauses in his presence. Now, I don't know about you, that is amazing to me that a man who ran for his life from Saul and Absalom still found time to pause. He's running through the wilderness, and there's something in him that experienced a previous pause that says, I gotta hide in a cave, I gotta get somewhere, because I need to press pause in the chaos of this, because what God is gonna speak to me in the pause, I need for where I am right now. I don't know about you, but no one's chasing my life. If David can find the time, as he's running for his life, I can find the time. But this was David's experience. David knew the value of pressing pause. I want to show you something. Because David's life was literally shaped by his pauses. Psalms chapter 3 is an example. Listen to the subtitle. This just cracks me up. King David's song as he was forced to flee from Absalom, his own son. David is writing a song as he's running. And listen to what verse 1 and verse 2 is. Lord,
I have so many enemies, so many who are against me. Listen to how they whisper their slander against me, saying, look, he's hopeless. Even God can't save him from this. Now, what's amazing is this is his perspective as he's running for his life. He's frantic. There's chaos. He's stressed out. He's like Martha. He's exasperated. But look what we see in Psalms chapter 3. Two verses in, there's a pause in his presence. Now let's look at verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 says this, but in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you, Yahweh, have become my shield. You take me and surround me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually. You lift high my head when I bow low in shame. I have cried out to you, Yahweh, from your holy presence. You send me a father's help. What happened? That was the reaction from the pause. It changed his perspective on what was going on. David wasn't just trying to like, hope this works out. David pressed pause in the franticness of running for his life, and in the pause, that's what he received. He was strengthened from the Lord from the pause. This is the power of the pause. Scriptures that talk about this, Isaiah 40, 31, you know this. Those who wait on the Lord get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and they don't lag behind. Isaiah 26, 3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed or paused on you because he trusts in you. 1 Samuel 12, 16, now therefore stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Psalm 62, 1 and 2, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Every one of these scriptures came out of the revelation of a person that pressed pause and received this. Psalms 46, 10 says, surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. So I don't know about you, but I've rushed into God's presence frantic and chaotic because so much is going on. And I start to just Martha exasperating and lamenting and complaining. And then sometimes God's like, will you just shut up? And has God ever told you to shut up? Stop talking. Shut up. Like it's like the closest thing to a slap. Like, you're just like, oh my God. Shh. You can't get what I'm trying to give you with that going on. You got to be still and know that I'm the Lord. Two testimonies I want to share from pausing in this presence, and we'll close. First one was this. In ministry, you can very easily become Martha. You can become exasperated. You can be stressed out. I mean, there's things that happen. And people, not anybody in this room. Some people are jerks. Not anybody in this room. I'm talking about people at my church. Okay. I'm kidding. I'm just messing. I'm a very sarcastic person, so don't take that literally. But everything else I've said, take literally. But not that. But there is times in ministry where you feel like you have lost yourself. Things are happening. Maybe you've invested in people. You've poured out your lives to people. I mean, you've given and then there's nothing and they just leave the church or you get hurt. You're not a human being. The pastors are robots up here. And they don't have any feelings, any emotions, whatever. But You pour out, you give out, you do everything you can, and it's still not enough. And it's really easy in those moments to almost become like a Saul and say, forget it. I'm just going to be cold. It is a constant fight to protect your heart. But there's times where it doesn't happen. And you feel like you've lost yourself. You can't explain it, but you know you feel like you're not who you're supposed, you're not who you really are anymore. And it's in those moments on a couple of occasions where I've decided I'm going to press pause. Because I need the person who created me, the person that before I was formed in the womb, he knew me, to tell me who I am again. Because I don't even know who I am right now. And so there was a moment where I was going through this and I pressed pause and I was spending time in God's presence. And God says this to a lot to me. When I say, God, remind me of who I am. He quickly comes back with, you're my son and I love you. But after hearing that a couple times, like you feel like that's not good enough. You know, like you, tell me more. Like you, after hearing that a couple times, you want to be like, okay, God, give me some details about what that means. Because I like it. I appreciate it, Jesus. But can you tell me like I'm awesome? Give me some specifics here. And I remember, I'll never forget this. I was in God's presence. I was praying. I was asking the Lord, Lord, I feel like I've lost myself. Remind me of who I am. And he said, you are my son, and I love you. I was like, I know, but tell me more. And this is what he said, and it changed everything. He said, Caleb, if that was good enough for Jesus, why is it not good enough for you? When Jesus was entering into his ministry, that was all I needed to tell him to sustain him through the desert. Every single thing you need to know about who you are will flow through your understanding of sonship. If you understood that what I just told you was the greatest thing I could have ever told you, you would have never asked that question. When you press pause, things like your identity get established. Second thing is this. 2013, I'm gonna close in a minute, which most pastors say that multiple times. So I might be exaggerating. But it was like 2012, 2013, something like that. And we had one son. And my wife and I were going through some just issues with being able to have another child. And it was a hard, long road of about 3 to 4 years where it just was not happening. We could not have another child. And what made it worse was that we had some testing done, some things happened, testing, physical testings, and we got some results. But when we got the results, my wife had quit teaching, so our medical insurance lapsed. So we had results that we couldn't afford to go to the doctor to figure out what they meant. And so for 3 months, it was a summer, for 3 months, it was one of the darkest points in my life because here I had these results and we wanted to have more kids, but we couldn't figure out what they meant. We couldn't afford. So the enemy was just hitting me and hitting me and hitting me. And you're still doing ministry. Sometimes the only times you put a smile on your face is when you show up in front of people when you're a pastor. Let's just be honest. Because everybody goes through seasons, and it was a dark, there were messages that was preaching that were declarations of where I wasn't even at. And I remember every single time that I pressed pause in that season, the Lord would come back and say, you will have more children. 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 And can I tell you, that word from the Lord, pressing pause, it may sustain me for a week, and then I had to go back. And he said, you will have more children. Then it sustained me for a month, then I had to go back. And he said, you will have more children. Because sometimes God does not get frustrated in reminding you of the truth of who he is. He said, you will have more children. You will have more children. In the last 2 years, we've had 2 kids under 2, and now I'm like, Lord, can we not have more children? He's like, that's on y'all. I'm out of it. Power of the pause. We need the word of the Lord in the pressing pause moments. And it was that sustained me through the summer where I could have wallowed in depression. He said, you're going to have more children. See, in the pause, he gave me a word to stand on. I'm going to close with this. It's a quote. If we could get Tammy to come up on the keys, and we're going to invite the prayer team to come forward. If there is a prayer team this morning, we're going to invite them to come forward. And if you've ever been on the prayer team, you're qualified to come forward. But I just want to close with a quote that kind of sums it all up. The feeling of being hurried is not usually the result of living a full life and having no time. It is, on the contrary, vague fear that we are wasting our life. When we do not do the one thing we ought to do, we really don't have time for anything else. We are the busiest people in the world. There's one thing we ought to do. Press pause. Go back to Luke. The Lord answered her, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? Mary, Martha, your sister has discovered the one thing most important. It's choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I'm not going to take this privilege from her. Why don't you press pause on your busy and pause right next to your sister and learn in this time who you are, what I really even want from you. It is the delight of the Father for you to still yourself. It is why there's an entire day that he ordained for rest. Because scripture says, be still and know that he is God. There is a knowing of the nature of God that will only come in stillness. We can get so caught up in just striving and working and wearing ourselves out. Remember when the disciples were in the storm on the sea and they were struggling at the oars? How many of you realize that that would have been eliminated if they would have first gone to Jesus? There's a surrender in the stillness that we learn that's so beautiful when we get a word from him about where we are in our life. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to just invite you in this time. If you feel like you've been striving and struggling, you've been wearing yourself out, I believe the Holy Spirit is here to invite you to come forward so that we can minister to you in a moment of pausing. Because here's the thing, church is about to be over. You can leave the doors, you can go on with life, but to come to the altars, actually to press pause on the rest of the day and say, God, I got to get out of this race. Like a hamster on a wheel. And I need to come before you, and I need to pause so that in the stillness I can know who you are. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you forward. Jesus, we love you, God. We love you for what you teach us in the stillness. What you teach us as we sit at your feet, God.
God, it is when we sit at your feet that we become recalibrated. God, this morning I pray that our hearts were gripped by how much, God, you want us to just sit with you. And Father, for those of us in the room that have been so frantic, have been running around like chickens with their heads cut off, God, I pray that this moment would bring a new revelation of the beauty of pressing pause. And Father, what we get in your presence. In Jesus' name. If you want prayer, we want to invite you to come forward to all of these amazing